Chuck Carroll is here. I love this man. We have been friends for years. I'm a huge fan of his wife, and you probably know her, Julie Wright. She's been a longtime TV personality in the Washington, D.C. area. She's on Channel 7. Chuck Carroll, the weight loss champ, is here. He has a new project out that we're going to discuss, and also Chuck is such an inspiration of his story of weight loss, which was what, over 300 pounds?
420. Don't shortchange me.
Oh, my God.
Don't shortchange me now.
You lost 400.
No. 420 was my peak weight. I lost 275 pounds.
275. Yeah. But Chuck, even because now you're plant-based vegan, which we're going to talk about, you've had to have lost even more.
You
look even tinier. Okay, so what was your highest weight? Was 420.
420.
What's your weight currently, if you don't mind me asking?
It's 144. But see, amazing. So like that sounds crazy, right, for a guy? But you need to understand. See, you're listening on a podcast. I'm 5'6" on a good day. So this is not crazy. I'm not like 6'6", 144. You know, I'm
fine. Chuck and I kind of have like the same body look and same height, really.
Yeah.
If you Google me,
twins,
and you put honestly, we could be twins.
Absolutely, we share clothes. It's amazing.
Truly, yes, we're about the same size. Chuck, I am so thrilled that you're here. I'm so excited about your new project.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your new project before we get into, because I wanted to have you on January 12th. We just passed January 12th of 2018. The 12th is the day that about 60% of people are going to give up all New Year's resolutions. Most of those resolutions are around health and weight. I gave up making a New Year's weight loss resolution about probably 4 years ago. But for 14 years, every single year, my New Year's resolution, and I posted this on social media because I feel like it was so shallow, was always to be hotter and skinny. That was it. And that was like, it was, and I was serious. Like, I was serious. I really believed that losing weight, that being a size four, that was always my goal, that would bring me happiness and success.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done every diet under the sun. None of them worked until I got to mindful eating, which essentially is finding a healthy eating pattern that is sustainable long term.
Yes. See, you hit the nail on the head over there. I'm so proud of you.
Well, that's why one of the many reasons you and I have been friends for so long. But tell me about this new project, because it's really exciting.
Yeah, the Exam Room by the Physicians Committee. Great group. They're over there. Basically, Physicians Committee, in a nutshell, is all about preventative medicine through nutrition. You know, so it's, if you treat your body right, you put good things in, you're not going to have to deal with all of those chronic illnesses that plague so many people. Your risk of diabetes goes way down. Heart disease goes way down. You know, so many good health benefits there that, you know, when you get older, you're not going to have to be, you're not going to be a walking pharmacy, basically. And so that's kind of
amazing.
What these guys are all about. And plus, you just feel phenomenal.
Do you?
I mean, it's so crazy. Like, so I lose all of this weight and I think I'm doing great. And then I go vegan and it's like, oh my God, this is what being healthy truly is. Like, my body right now is a fine-tuned machine. I'm feeling so good.
So tell me this, because Dr. Barnard is, and everybody knows Dr. Barnard now, really, from What the Health.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's been a longtime physician advocate of vegan plant-based eating, and he founded the Physicians Committee, right, in Washington, D.C.?
He did indeed.
So Dr. Barnard's on some of the episodes, and then also are you rotating with some of the other physicians in the group?
We do. Every week we have another physician or a nutritionist. They have such an incredible staff there. You know, I mean, you've mm-hmm. been to the Barnard Medical Center. And it's really cool to be able to tap into those internal resources. It's like, you know, pick up, you know, just speed dial, literally. You know, you've got like 18 million doctors right there that you can tap into. Like, it's just phenomenal. And all of them are just so smart.
And now, what are some, I mean, obviously the show is based around vegan, plant-based, but what are some of the themes that you guys are tackling?
So obviously we did New Year, New You, where we released that before January 12th.
Okay.
And that was basically, you know, getting people ready to go vegan. Here's all the health benefits that go into it. But then we get into deeper things. We've got an episode coming up called The Meat Cancer Connection. And one of the nutritionists on staff there, she had a scare where she found a lump in her breast, and she got that taken care of, and she really kind of cleaned up her act beforehand. She studied up and, you know, went vegetarian, plant-based. And then as soon as she... Basically, so she finishes the first round of treatment, goes back to her old diet, and within a matter of weeks, months, the lump came back.
Really?
And then she goes plant-based for a second time after she has it removed, and it's never come back. So we tackle like really heavy topics like that. And so when I'm talking about preventative medicine through nutrition, that's exactly the kind of thing that we're tapping into. The science behind it, the miracles that are there. You know, just spoke to another doctor out in Oregon. He was a former physician's emergency room physician, and he learned about the benefits of a plant-based diet, gets so inspired that he leaves that, and now he just preaches, you know, the health benefits of it, and it works so well, and he garnered so much interest in the community that he turned his city into a blue zone. Do you know what that is?
No clue.
A blue zone are those rare places on Earth where people's lifespan far exceeds the average American or Japanese. Wherever that blue zone is, far exceeds that. And it is, he says, because, you know, they go plant-based. And that's certified. That is 100% certified.
You know, you probably saw this, and I'm sure you're becoming now much more up to date on all this. But there, whenever I had Dr. Barnard on this podcast, and, you know, you put out a video about him, there's so much resistance as well. And so many people do not believe that meat is at all tied to cancer, especially if you're eating meat in moderation, let's say 2 days a week, 3 days a week. I think recently I just saw there was a study about bacon and hot dogs. I don't know if you saw that, like, will actually help you now live longer, you know? How do you guys keep handling that? Because that resistance of people saying that milk is healthy, eggs are healthy, meat is, you know, you get a lot of backlash.
Well, you do. And the thing is, it's like you can't really fire back, you know, double barrel. You can't go back all guns blazing because they're dug into the sand. And so what you try to do is just chip away and offer them little bits of knowledge and hope that they pick up on it. And a lot of people have started to. So that kind of revolution is kind of underway. But if somebody's really dug into the sand with their thing, like, you can't argue with them.
But what's the sign? Like, what's the new? Because that's the thing at Barnard. You guys are always doing new research. They're always coming out with new studies. Tell us, like, right now, what are the statistics? What are some of the correlations between eating meat and cancer or eating meat and diabetes? You know, what's coming out on your end that you're becoming aware of?
Well, yeah, so here's what I've learned, especially just doing that episode recently, is that consumption of meat is tied to more than a dozen forms of cancer. Like, it is
really
ridiculous. And it's really just indiscriminate. Men, women, young, old, it just doesn't matter. But the thing is, what nobody realizes is that this is not new knowledge. We went over an article that was published in the New York Times in 1907, and the headline reads, "Cancer Rates Higher Among Meat Eaters." I kid you not, 1907.
Wow.
And so
that
knowledge just gets swept under the rug for a century. And now we've just circled back to it again.
And that knowledge is getting swept under the rug because, like, in What the Health, they really tackle that the meat industry, the dairy industry, spend millions and millions and millions of dollars conducting surveys that show in their favor that, oh, well, you can have dairy and it's really great for your bones. Mm-hmm. And that they also market to us all the time that these foods are healthy.
Yeah, and so here's where it sounds a little bit, and I will admit this sounds a little bit conspiracy theorist, but it is 100% true. Do the research. We obtained this through a Freedom of Information request and a FOIA, if you will. The government actually... there's a grant that they give to, like, McDonald's, fast food restaurants. How can you find ways to put more cheese on your food? because cheese is so addictive and it's so bad for you. But, you know, it's such big business and there are such lobbyists on Capitol Hill from the dairy industry.
So, okay, break this down for me. So what's happening is the dairy industry is hiring lobbyists that lobby Congress, senators, their representatives to essentially have government money go to McDonald's to do studies on or to do promotion of cheese, right? That's so fucked up.
So, yeah, they go into like a little cheesy think tank and they think all this up. So that's where when you think about like a stuffed crust pizza from Pizza Hut, that's kind of where those types of ideas are spawned from. It's literally how much cheese can we fit in something?
What the Health, you know, was like a huge movement in 2017. I love that you guys are continuing this now with podcasts because podcast is quickly becoming the number one way, especially people under the age of 40 are consuming new information. Tell me this. What do you think is going to be, do you think we're going to start seeing more funding for healthy stuff, for plant-based stuff? Or do you think that the fight is still real tough?
It's we will slowly but surely. I mean, you know that the tide is starting to turn.
It is a lot of plant-based. You hear it a lot now. Vegan.
You do, and my sincerest hope is that it doesn't become like this fad that fizzles out. And I don't honestly think that it will in this case, because the younger generation that's really embracing this is embracing it wholeheartedly and believes in it so much. Mm-hmm. It's not like a wacky South Beach diet. You know, it doesn't have a fancy name to it because it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle, and that's the big difference.
So one more thing around meat. Do you think you know, what's your research? Do you guys do a lot of research about free range? Like a lot of people are like saying, oh, well, I raise my own chickens and I know that they're not fed with GMO grains and all that stuff. So if you're buying free range meat, let's say from your farmer's market, is that any better for you than the Purdue stuffed with chemicals chicken breasts?
So I'm not a doctor. I've never studied the nutritional value, but chicken meat is chicken meat is chicken meat. And that's the bottom line. So the same kind of, you know, chicken hormones, whether they're getting injected with extra hormones or not, I mean, we're human, we're not chickens, so why would you consume chicken hormones? Like, you know, that's there. So if you want to call it free range and think that it's healthy, okay, go right ahead. But no, I don't think that there's too much of a difference there as far as decreasing your risk of developing cancer.
Last question before we kind of talk more about your story of weight loss and your kind of advice for people that are, you know, I always preach diets don't work. It has to be a lifestyle change. But that's very hard to do. What else is trending? What is something that the Barner Group is working on that is something we're going to see in 2018? Around plant-based, vegan? Are you guys working on something cool, or is there something that just really has blown your mind?
We are, and this is actually a campaign that, you know, you may or may not think that it's cool, but it's certainly important, and that is we're trying to get hospitals to clean up the kind of food that they offer to patients. So the patients go in there, and you know, they're so sick, and then they have surgery, and they need to recover, and then they're being served all of this processed meat, this junk, this dairy that's not going to do any good for their body. So what we're trying to do now is
fucking crazy. Isn't that nuts? You go in and it's just like pancakes and Link sausages for breakfast. You're like, what?
Yeah, as my 4-year-old nephew would say, that's cuckoo bananas. So so really what we're trying to do is clean up those acts. And they've been working on for years actually trying to get actual fast food restaurants out of hospitals. Some hospitals, you go in there, there's a McDonald's in the lobby. And it's like, come on, people. Come on.
How is that going? Getting a lot of resistance or a lot of, hey, we want to figure this out and help patients?
Depends on the hospital. It really does.
Because it's a business. Yeah, it's a business.
So some of the hospitals around here, Howard Hospital, they're a little bit more hesitant to work with us. But others have, you know, kind of embraced it and at least are, you know, open to having meetings and, but it's not just around here. I mean, the Physicians Committee is a national group. So that's kind of the cool thing. And so, yeah, we have a little campaign here in DC, but we're also making those same kind of pushes, you know, around the U.S.
Where can people, and I'll ask you this again too at the end of the show, but the podcast again is called
The Exam Room.
The Exam Room. and where can people get it? iTunes?
iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and just hop on the website if you want, pcrm.org/podcast. Drop a new episode every week, typically on Wednesdays. Okay. The cool thing about that is we also have a success story on there every week, you know? And that's I love just kind of kicking around ideas and comparing, contrasting the journeys that, you know, that person has in my journey. And you'll find that no matter how somebody reaches the endpoint, you may take two different paths, but there's still a lot of common elements there. And it's a lot of fun and it's really inspirational. And then we bring in the doctors and everybody gets really smart too.
Oh, I know. They're so good. I know.
Yeah, they're really good.
You and I worked together in radio. We worked at, in the same radio cluster for years, and that's how I met you. And when I knew you, you were 300 and something, 400 pounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just amazing to know you today. So I know your story, but you lost the weight through doing gastric bypass,
yes.
Right? That was how it started.
Yeah.
And what was your tipping point when you knew, and how did you know that was going to work? Because a lot of people have gastric and then they gain the weight back. So I love your story.
Well, thank you. I honestly didn't know that it was going to work. Wow. So here's the thing. I thought that I was going to do this and it was just kind of like a last resort. Like, okay, so I'm going to do this and then I can say I've tried everything, throw up my hands and then resign myself to die. I hate to be Debbie Downer. That's how it was.
Wow.
Because yeah, my father and stepmother had it, and they had success with it. And I love them to death, but, you know, I saw them put some weight back on and fall right back into their old habits. And I was like, all right, well, let me just do this. I've done every other diet, so what the hell? And, yeah, but then you go through the surgery and you just wake up on the other side and you can go one of two ways. You can go left and, you know, that's the road that you haven't taken, clean up your act, or you can go right back to your old ways. And so I just decided to go left, mainly because I felt like a truck. I got hit by a truck, you know.
After the surgery.
Oh, my God, yes.
It was just so, and why, physically, it was just so tough on your body?
Right, and that was less the procedure itself, like it was less the intestinal rerouting, just to get kind of graphic about it.
Yeah,
and
it
was more the fact that it wasn't done laparoscopically. Like, dude went straight through my abdomen, and that is the part that just sucked.
It was
oh my God.
So painful. Like, did it feel like you just done the worst sit-up of your life?
Yeah. Well, you can't move. I mean, like, they tell you to move, and you have to move, lest you develop a blood clot. But it's so painful because you use your core for everything, every little twist. Like this little head bob that I'm doing now, you don't realize it, but your abdomen core. it's tied in there. And so it's like you're that heavy. And so just like trying to sit up, it's like hard enough as it is. And then like your muscles are literally ripped open.
So tell me this, you know, you've kept the weight off for so many years, and I'm sure you've done a lot of self-analysis on, but did you ever, why and what was the emotional aspect, do you think, that you ever got to 420 pounds? Like, have you ever kind of looked at the emotional part of it?
Yeah, I'm sure that there was. I mean, the self-confidence wasn't there, and food for everything was just kind of the go-to. I'm not going to lie to you and say that my life was just a poo-poo bladder, you know. Life was more or less pretty good, you know. I had the opportunity. I always wanted to work in radio. I did work in radio, you know, one of those wacky morning sidekicks on Big 100 is Big Chuck. So, you know, all the puzzle pieces fit. And so life was not necessarily bad, you know. It was tough dating. You know, that was the hardest part for me. Not a lot of confidence there. You know, who wants to date somebody that is that heavy? But I had, you know, a girlfriend, and we should talk about this in just a second. Circle back to the girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah. I want to know if that helped or hurt the situation.
Yeah. So, okay. That's when the sympathy card will come out for old Chucker here.
But did the whole, you know, because you were known as Big Chuck on the radio, and were you an overweight kid?
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, it's as far back as I can remember. I remember God, I top three bills. So I was in the triple digits by the time I was in third grade. And I remember,
really?
Yeah, there was this program called Identikid where we would get, you know, they were like little driver's license looking things. Is basically, you know, register yourself in case you get lost or you're missing or something. The police have all this and they give you an ID card, but they take your height and your weight. And I remember stepping on that scale and it was like 104 pounds or something like that. And I remember just being like so embarrassed. And I turned to the woman and I was like, probably a little third grader. Here's Charlie Carroll. I got to go on a diet, you know?
Really?
And yeah. And I was like, and that was the first time I was like, oh.
And did that start your dieting?
Well, no, I mean, you're third grade. What do you know about dieting? You know, I went right back to Burger King after that, you know, because I figured I was okay. I was playing baseball, but I didn't know about calories in, calories out at that point.
Did it become a self-fulfilling prophecy, though? You know, like with the whole Big Chuck and, you know, you kind of were the you know, probably big happy kid and
yeah,
news kid. And so what was that like?
Self-fulfilling prophecy, yeah. I mean, because you find ways to just justify your weight. You do, like, every little thing. Like, I couldn't shed that weight when I was Big Chuck, because then what? Would I have a job? Like, could I be just Chuck on Big 100? Like, no. You know, so it's, you lose a couple of pounds. And matter of fact, I did an endorsement for something called the Cookie Diet when I was there. And I lost a bunch of weight, but I was still big. Of course,
I remember that,
God,
yeah.
God, the Cookie Diet.
That was so awful. Oh my God, the Cookie Diet. That was sold to like all the radio stations.
Yeah, and they were looking for people to endorse it.
Oh, the Cookie Diet.
And of course. Oh. Who's going to endorse it? Oh, let's get Big Chuck. Didn't taste like a cookie, man. That was like...
Oh, it was the nastiest,
doo-doo
awfulest,
sponge.
Proteiny.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So did that, lost a bunch of weight, and then just kind of threw up my hands, had enough of that. But yeah, anyway, so Big Chuck, can't lose the weight. And then, you know, I also had this big personality at the time.
Right.
And so, you know, over the top, shock jock style, long hair... You know, just this is, you know, who I am. This is who I have to be. And so I didn't think twice about, you know, going and doing my $20 Taco Bell runs. You know, that was just a way to make sure that I kept, you know, being that character. And yeah,
in looking back, you know, because my journey, I've gained and lost 150 pounds. And about 4 years ago through mindful eating, I lost 40 pounds and I've kept it off. Mm-hmm. But in going back and doing the emotional part of it, you know, I realized too, a lot of times I use the weight because I was very afraid of my own. I was afraid to really like be me. And I always felt like if I was truly me, like I'd be just like an alcoholic slut or like all this stuff. Was like skinny, I would have no control. And so the weight, I always kept the weight on as a way to kind of keep people away and of realizing my full potential. And it took me a long time to realize that.
I'm going to keep my knees together by like just eating.
Yeah.
I've never heard that. I'm going to stay pure by eating nachos.
It really worked. No one wanted to have sex with me when I was like 190 pounds.
Really?
And I'm like 5'3". Yeah. It was really a psychological thing. I was very afraid of my own, of truly being and owning my own power. I was very, very fearful of that.
It's funny how we wear those masks, isn't it?
It's crazy, all the psychological things. Even if you had, like, you know, I had a pretty good childhood. You know, I mean, my dad passed away when I was in high school. That definitely affected me. But, you know, I had fun. My parents weren't alcoholics. You know, I had a very stable environment. But there's so much psychological shit that happens to all of us. And we're never really taught in school or, you know, along the way until I think people now are really talking about the psychological. But you don't know all the mental shit that's going on and the baggage you carry.
Yeah.
And the things that people say to you that then become lots of times self-fulfilling.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. So, I'm there with you. I've heard that. I've been there.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the insults and, you know, hey, fat boy, you know, what's up, fatty, fat. And, you know, it's just not nice things and, you know, whatever. So that, of course, just exacerbates the problem. And
do you go back, like, to your high school? Have you seen a lot of, like, your high school, college friends and, like, they must just like fall over when they see
you. Oh, yeah. So like they got on the escalator, they went up, I got on the escalator and I went down, you know, so.
Oh, right, right.
And so, you know, some of them have come up to me and asked for advice, and that's like so humbling. Wow. Like that's so cool.
That is full circle.
Yeah. I actually had a guy, like he and I weren't really close in high school at all. Like I don't remember even talking to him. Like we ran in such different circles, but you know, you get on Facebook and it's like, oh, I know this guy. Let me, you know, friend him. And so, lo and behold, like dude just shoots me a message and he's like, I've been following you and you inspired me and I had the surgery and I lost all this weight and now I'm running marathons. And I'm like, dude, we've never talked and I did all this for you. Like
goosebumps.
Like that's so cool. And that's what I love doing now. It's like, I love stories like that. Like everybody should experience this. Like it's such a, it's a rush. It's a high but it's like realizing your potential, because you never think that it's possible. And when you finally do it, it's like, holy crap, what else can I do? You know?
It's truly. Yeah. That's the thing. For years, I never, ever believed. I never believed I could trust myself around food. And mm-hmm. I never believed that I could ever go a day without thinking about how many calories I've eaten, how many calories I've burned. I always thought I would think about food. And then a couple years ago, I just had caught myself and I thought, oh my God, it's been months since, and it is such a feeling. And I'm like, fuck, if I can conquer the weight issues, what else can I do?
Yeah. And look at you. I mean, like you're doing your own thing. You've got your own business going. You're not working for the man. Hell no. You're doing Sarah's podcast. Like that's so cool. Like it's so cool. Like you are living life on your terms and that is awesome. And so few people get to do that. Like you don't realize, and maybe you do, like how blessed you are to be in this position. And it's because you got that confidence, you know, by realizing what you were truly capable of doing.
Oh my God. I mean, I can get emotional about it because I'm so grateful. And I thank God every day that that I've had the courage. I've had some amazing people in my life that keep kind of holding my feet to the fire, you know, because it's scary. It's scary to have your own business and it's scary to build a career on your own terms because you don't have that security of like, okay, Monday morning, I'm going into the TV station or I'm going into the radio station. But it's so fulfilling and it's amazing. Every month I'm like, yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, it's so cool. And so like I got up the muster. I actually pitched the idea of the podcast to the physicians committee.
Yes!
And Julie was the one that held my feet to the fire for that. Like I had this idea rattling around for more than a year. Like I really wanted to do this and went to their big conference last summer, the ICNM. And
wow, Chuck.
And just bumped into, you know, some people and I was like, hey, do you guys do a podcast? And no, I was like, okay, well, let's set up a meeting to do it. And, you know, as soon as I got home, I was like, all right, well, and Julie's like, send an email now. And so I did. And, you know, the next week I had a meeting and then a couple weeks later had another meeting. And then, you know, everything seemed like it was going really well. And then there's like 3 weeks of silence. And
yeah,
then it's
right.
Like,
there always is,
we
right.
want to do it. And so it's like, and then here we are, you know, and it's wow. it's a dream. Like I'm getting paid to inspire people, to enlighten people. And it's everything that I ever wanted. And like, I'm just so grateful. So grateful.
Circle back and tell us the story of their girlfriend. And then I want your three tips for people who are probably feeling very down right now, maybe because they, you know, they're where you and I were 6 years ago, 8 years ago in our journeys. So tell us the story of the girlfriend first.
Big 100.3 had a crush on a girl in promotion. She will remain nameless, but I mean, I was crushing so hard on this girl. I was in my early 20s, and she was probably 18, 19. She was going to the University of Maryland, and she and I just, we clicked, you know, and I felt like there was this chemistry there, but, you know, she wasn't overweight, you know, so here I am, this, you know, big dude. I was like, man, you know, it was like, so eventually I was like, screw it. I can't hold it in. Like, you know, the feelings just build up and like, you got it. You just got to tell her. So I did. And I was like, you know, when are we going to start going out? You know, and she's like, we already are, darling. I was like, no, I'm serious. Like, when are we start, you know, when are we going to start this? Because you and I both know that there's something there. And she's like, and so she was nervous about it, but, you know, eventually she's like, yeah, you know, let's do it. So that should have been red flag number one. So despite all the right. chemistry, you know, that's red flag
the
number
hesitation.
One. Right. So she and I got together. We were together for about a year and a half. And she never told anybody that we were dating, not
really?
Even her parents. I had to wow. like beg and plead with her. Yeah, I take that back. She told one person after like 7 months, and that was her best friend. And wow. you hear that, and it's like, it just sucks. It's like, am I not good enough? Am I truly right. not good? And I mean, this hurts to this day. Am I truly not good enough? What's going on here? And that's just the way that it was, to be kept in the closet, despite saying so many times, like, this, why is this a secret? And she would tell me not to tell anybody. And it's like, come on, girl. Like,
wow.
Like, what are you doing? Like, are you so ashamed? Like, I treat you really well. You clearly like me, but, you know, what's the deal here? Why am I not good enough? Why don't you want to tell people that we're in a relationship?
Mm. Is it, and it was the weight.
It was. It must have been. You know,
wow.
And then, you know, find out later that she was also into girls. And so she and her friend had a thing going too.
Oh,
so.
Well, maybe
that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other thing. But she kept me in the closet and, you know, herself at the same time. And that's an honest to God, true story. But nonetheless,
that's an awesome twist. What, but I understand the hurt. Oh
yeah.
My
whatever
God.
The reason, man, it just sucked to like be kind of like kept on the QT. But
the whole too, but.
Yeah. See, so that made it sting slightly less.
Slightly yeah. less.
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Then.
Yeah, maybe there was a lot going on. tell me this: for people who are beginning their journey, whether they're 20 pounds overweight, 100, 200, considering gastric, what is what are your three things to get started and make it work and make a change?
First, number one, and I'm sure that you've heard this before, rethink the word diet. Mm. A diet is a yeah. lifestyle. A diet is day in and day out what you do. A diet is not a short-term thing. A diet is not 2 weeks. It's not 3 weeks. It's not a month. It's not, you know, 6 months. You'll lose all the weight. A diet is for life. And so when you go and you make a change, don't set a goal to have lost like 18 million. Don't set a goal to have lost 20 pounds just to be able to fit into a dress to go to, you know, a wedding or something like that.
Right.
Set the goal to lose 20 pounds and to keep it off.
Yeah.
You know, so that's number one. Number two is when you reach your target weight, don't say, okay, well, when I lose 20 pounds, I'm going to have this slice of pizza. When I lose 20 pounds...
Don't make the food the reward.
Right.
I would do that, too.
I can have this Sunday.
I would do that all the time.
And that sets you back, because yeah. what people don't
you
realize
binge
is, like, they are addicted to food. Like, we all are. You know, some yeah. people like, I was really addicted to food. You know, so maybe not everybody's to that extent.
Sure.
But it's like, when you eliminate something from your system, you've detoxed off of it, why would you reintroduce it? It's the same thing for smokers. You stop smoking, why would you think that you can have just a cigarette? Like, mm. you can't. Like, why would you reintroduce that stuff to your body? So don't reward yourself with food.
Love it.
You know? And so number three is... don't get a gym membership.
I love that advice.
Do not. And like, this is so critically important, because you, again, when you start to rethink diet, you know, diet, what's the first thing you do? It's like, we're going to clean out all the unhealthy stuff in our pantry. We're going to go to the grocery store. We're going to get healthy stuff. And on the way home, we're going to stop and get a gym membership. And this is January 1st. And you get that gym membership, and what happens by January 12th? You're not going anymore.
Right.
Because it's not sustainable. You haven't been doing that. So why would you go from being a couch potato, somebody that, you know, hasn't really exercised much at all, to thinking that you can go to the gym every single day after work?
And you and I have talked about this over the years. I know after you got surgery, and I did the same thing to keep off my 40 pounds. I still do it. All I do is walk, take the stairs. I do push-ups and sit-ups in my apartment.
Yep.
And occasionally, I mean, I have a gym in my building. I'll go there. But that is not, I mean, it's not every day. It's not religious. I don't keep the, I used to when I was on a diet, I'd be like, if I'm not working out for an hour, it's not, it doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, I lost the weight by parking all the way in at the end of the parking
lot. That's my girl.
And then I took the stairs.
Yep. And that's really all it takes.
All you have to do, right?
To keep it off. To keep it off, yeah. That's literally all you have to do, is all the things that you dismiss when you are overweight, is saying, oh, that'll never work. Yeah, they do. Believe me, I was a big old pessimist, like a big time skeptic about that, until I started to do it. And, you know, here we are, you know, almost 9 years later, and the weight's still off. And so to lose the weight, yeah, okay, so you do need to exercise a little bit, but don't get a gym membership.
Walk. Stairs.
Walk.
Get down and do some push-ups. Get to the point you can do a plank. You don't have to do it for a minute. 25 seconds. Get back up, try 25 more. It's all at your own home. It's free.
And so here's the great thing, right? I built this into my work day. So when I got home, like, I was done.
Right.
I arranged it with them that I could just have like a little extended lunch break so I could walk. So when I was 420 pounds and had just had the surgery, like, you know, barely walk across the street, my chest would start to tighten. I'd be sweating profusely. So I'd walk across the street. And that's as much as I would do. And I would go and I would sit on this bench and I would stare out at this baseball field. There was a park right across the street from my office at the time. And I would just sit there and stare and, you know, take in the sunny day and enjoy it and then go back to work. And then got to a point where I could walk around the block, did that. And then it became 2 blocks, 3 blocks. Eventually it was a mile. And then all the way up to 5 miles on my lunch break. On my lunch break, Sarah. So here's the thing. So you build that in. And then you never have to worry about, after a long day, going to the gym.
Getting your crap and going to the gym, yeah. It's done.
And that's sustainable.
That's sustainable.
That is sustainable.
I adore you. You inspire me all the time. I'm so proud of you, what you're doing with Dr. Barnard and the Physicians Group. Tell us where we can follow you personally.
Excuse me as I take a sip of water. All right, so it's across the board on the tweeters and on Instagram at Chuck Carroll, WLC. And if you search Chuck Carroll on the Facebook, you'll find me under the Weight Loss Champion, or what is it, facebook.com/weightlosschampion. I think I'll take you right to
And
me.
People can contact you through that, right? Because you are so inspiring. Okay.
I love it when people reach out and, you know, either ask for help or inspiration or share their stories, you know?
Yeah.
I love it.
And where can people download the podcast one more time?
iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Just search Exam Room, pcrm.org/podcast. And hold on, let me plug something else if you don't mind.
Yes, please, plug away.
I don't know when this one will drop, this particular podcast, but every third Tuesday of the month at Woodrow Wilson High School here in D.C.,
okay,
putting together a program called Vegan This. A little bit of an attitude, you know? So what's
Vegan
that?
This.
Vegan
Instead
This.
Instead of fuck this, vegan this.
Yeah, see, you know. So
I just curse. That's why you don't want me at this.
It's
poor
all
kids.
Good. God knows I've seen you
poor
in live
adults.
Events. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I've seen the jaws hit the floor. I mean, it's so help me God, the day you were talking about the bathroom and long nails, I was like, what the hell is happening right here? That was the funniest thing. And like, I just love you so much. So anyway, so it's tailored to new vegans. And so we're going to teach you everything that you need to know about going vegan. If you've been vegan for a while, it's kind of a refresher course. So we're going to have doctors there. We're going to have a panel. Dr. Barnard is going to be speaking there.
Awesome.
We're going to teach people how to zoodle. We're going to be...
that sounds cool.
Yeah, I know, right? So I just came from WJLA. We had a zoodle race this morning, and that was a lot of fun. And so I get to see that, and that's just another dream come true. So every third Tuesday of the month, you want to learn about it, come on out, Woodrow Wilson High School, 6 o'clock. And doors open there, and we'll do that for 2 hours. And it's the whole idea is to build a sense of community,
yeah,
you know, and support system is so critical. It's so critical. So you're new vegan. Joe Smith is new vegan. Get the contact info. Keep each other on the regular, and you're good to go.
Chuck, thank you again. It was awesome. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
Love it. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.